Is that? Okay, good morning. Okay, now you hear me. I just came back from 2.5 months mission trip to China and Taiwan. And there's what? Kyrgyzstan, right? Okay. Anybody have been to Kyrgyzstan? I know one person did in this room. Well, it's not here today. Okay. You may wonder, why did I go? I go there almost every year. Not Kyrgyzstan. I go to China every year to visit Christians, to have fellowship with them. The last time I went to Taiwan was a long time ago, but I grew up there. This is the second time I've been to Kyrgyzstan. The last time I went was 2008. Because that's the places I went. By the way, if you have any plan to visit Kyrgyzstan in particular, I can make arrangement for you. Otherwise, it's very difficult to go there because you don't know anybody. That's the point. I would like to share a scripture verses with you first, and eventually, hopefully, I will use the trip to China as illustration of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Before I read the Bible verses, let me just ask you questions. The question I want to ask you is about changes, C-H-A-N-G-E-S, changes. Can you, from your own experience, tell everybody here, or just think in your mind, what are the changes, most memorable or most in-depth, or most the changes has most impact in your life? Everybody has must have gone through some changes. The simple question is, have you experienced some changes that changes the way you think, or it changes your life a little bit? Let me just see. Anybody has those experiences? Yeah, most people do. A few still think about it, right? But if you haven't had any changes that still have impact on your mind, maybe you're still young, very young. As you grow older, there are many, many changes. Okay, there are two kinds of changes. One is the changes of the environment. Okay, can you give me an example of the changes in the environment have some impact on you, change your environment? Move, yeah. How many of you have moved in the last 3 years? Okay, yeah, you have. Hasn't it been easy?
Well, moving to Connecticut was hard, but moving back from Connecticut was
easy. Really, why is it harder to move there?
Because you don't know anybody there.
That's the point. The stranger environment. It's not how beautiful the Connecticut is, right? It's not by the coast versus by the lake that makes the difference. It is people, environment, that make a difference. I saw that. Hand in the back. Okay. Anybody want to say something about the change of the environment? Have you ever experienced a change of environment? Had nothing to do with you, just the environment changing. You haven't been old enough yet, please. Change of school. Why did you change school? Or move one school. Why is changes of school hard? As I recall my life, I was not forced. I was moved from one school to another in my sophomore year in high school. It wasn't my plan. Guess, did I want to go? I don't even remember, because in those days, the parents say go, I just went. But in these days, I think we all have some feeling inside, right? It's a similar experiences. It's not the building that makes environment, it's the people, right? Okay. Have you experienced the changes inside of you caused by the environment, or has nothing to do with the outside environment, but something changes inside of you in the last so many years? Anything you find yourself, the way you look at things changed. Have you realized that? Or anybody has any experience? Yes? No? Okay. Just feel free to share a little bit. Yeah. I appreciate his sharing that it's not just the environment, it's what changes inside of us has longer impact. Anybody else want to share? Just raise your hand, I'll give you time. I'd like to share with you the scripture verses about a change of the person. This change of person takes place when he's not brought into a new school, he's not moved to a new town, he's not getting a relationship with anybody, he's not getting married or getting divorced, or he's not promoted to high places, or his business is not a business failure, but he changed. Let's read the story. Okay. Let me emphasize. The story we're going to read is about a man changed in a short period of time. It's not, as you read the Bible, you will find out it's not caused by outside, outward changes in his environment. It's very unique, but I'll point it out. Hopefully, Holy Spirit can help us to see that can happen to any one of us. And those kind of changes is life-changing, have life-changing impact. Okay, let's read Luke chapter 19. I don't know whether it is. Oh, we're going to come back to this. Okay. Okay, this is the end. Okay, we'll come back to that. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. It's a short story about a person called Zacchaeus. Have you Do some of you read this story before? Yeah? Have some impression? Okay. Okay. You can use your iPod, iPhone, or use your paper Bible. Only 10 verses. Let's read loud together. Are we ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. See him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, look, let's repeat verse number 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Okay, let's keep your Bible open to that page. Let's take a closer look. What is the main character in this story? Zacchaeus. And then the other characters in the story were what? Jesus. Then other people, right? You see, in our life, in your life, once you enter the relationship with Jesus Christ, or even before that, just like the story says, in your life, there's you, right? You are the main character in your life drama, right? We all are. But then there's Jesus. Whether we are aware of it or not. Then what? The rest of people, right? Guess what? Most of the time, we live on the opinion of what? Of ourselves, or Jesus, or the rest of people. Rest of people. Let's be honest. That's why moving to a new school is a challenge, because we don't know those so-called the rest of people around us, right? Let's make it so vulnerable, right? And when I go to China, go to Kyrgyzstan, those so-called the rest of people, do I know them? Getting to know them better when I go to the same place every year. But this time I've been to 7 places, 4 of which I've never been before. That's why I make this trip much tougher. I've been back almost 10 days. I'm still very, very tired. It's not because it's because adjustment from places to places. There's a reason for making adjustment hard. It's because we don't know them. We don't know the rest of people, okay? This guy, the main character of the story, let's take a closer look, find out the characteristics. How do we the profile? What is this guy? Okay. His name is Zacchaeus, but that doesn't mean much to us. But how is he described in the story? Can you find some feature, main feature? Well, huh? Tax collector. What does that mean to people in those days?
It's the IRS.
IRS. Bad guy. Is IRS bad guy? Not necessarily. But why is he, or was he a bad guy too?
Because he cheated some people out of money, maybe more than fired.
Yeah. What Richard said was correct, that in those days, the Jewish people were ruled by the Romans. They are considered the second, the Jewish people were considered second class citizens. But the Roman Empire occupied 80 to 90% of the civilized world around the Mediterranean Sea. But Roman, the true Roman citizens, are far and few in between. It's only less than 10% of the entire empire. So, but they occupy, they control, they rule over all these land by force, by power, by military power. But they cannot have their, make their presence in all those places because there are so few of them. So they figure out a way is to make, elect the secondary officers, secondary under the Roman authority, make them a surrogate of ruling for them. So you remember the Harold, the king? He's king, but he's only the king under the governor of Judea. Sometimes he's a king, but he's not really king. He's a puppet king. The governor tells him to do, then he just jump on doing it. Same way about collecting tax. The Romans are so street smart, sometimes evil smart. They tell the Jewish people, you can have someone to be an IRS, but only there was no IRS. You can have someone to be a tax collector. That someone, I'll give him the authority to collect taxes from every one of you Jewish people. Only you have to follow his collection. If you don't, we're going to do it by force. But then he has a hidden deal with the tax collector. Say, suppose openly he said, in Rochester Hill, the tax collector can collect, say, $20 million a year. That's the quota he has to meet. But that's what he tells everybody. This guy can collect. But actually, he only required that guy to turn in half, say, $10 million. You see what I'm saying? So, doesn't anybody want to be such a collector? Yeah, because he can keep half his mind. My own suggested figure. I don't know exactly the percentage. So whoever be the tax collector, he can keep a portion of what he collected legally with the Roman Empire backing him up. Isn't that a great job? There's no layoff. As long as the Roman Empire is there, he has a job for life. Does he have to work hard? No. He just go and collect. If people don't collect, he just jot down the name, tell the Roman officer, the guy that's going to go. Isn't that a great job? But the only problem with that is his own people hated him. They all knew he had kept part of the tax, but nobody knew exactly how much. They hated him for taking money away from his own people, give it to what? Romans. Okay, what else they says about this guy?
Short.
I don't know about you. The outward look, the statue, outward look has always been a point of ridicule. When I grew up, I was tall, but I thought tall was not good because I always sit in the back of the class. I always assign work where normal size people wouldn't be assigned to. I hated being tall. I always, when I go to the bus, you know, in the old days in Taiwan, the bus is not as big as now. It's a small bus. I always had trouble holding on because I almost hit the top of the bus. I see all the disadvantage of being tall because the basketball then was not popular. Tall has very little advantage of anything. I always thought the tall was bad until I met a short guy. He said, talking about tall, being short is worse. And he told me a little story about now. Then I have met different guys, skinny or heavy set. Everybody tells a story about how bad he looks. Now, after all these years, I realize there's no perfect size. Probably you're still looking for a perfect size coming out of the block or now what, iPod, whatever. Oh, there's a new model. It's a Beckham. What's it, the guy's name? Beckham, the soccer player. Huh? David Beckham. He'll become model. Then it'll come another guy or another girl. Not a model. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. By the end of the day, everybody feels bad about how she or he looks. That's the truth. If you feel bad about yourself, you have a good company here. But that is just the reality of life. Nothing. You see, there are things you can change, right? If you don't like this school, we can move to IA, right? We can move to a different school. But there's things you cannot change. That's how you look. That's how other people look at you in judgment on how you look. Nothing you can do about it. Take it from an old guy like me. I lived through that. Now, what is the way out? Avoid everybody, right? Since I can't, I just don't deal with you guys anymore. I just go online. I talk to whoever online, he likes me. If once he popped out some seemingly unfriendly remark, what do I do? I click the bottom. I disappear, or he disappear. Right? That's how we arrange our life so we can feel there's nothing wrong with that because that's the reality. Right? But I hope by clicking the button, we can change how we feel about ourselves. So the bottom line is not how people feel about us. It's how we think and feel about ourselves. That matters. That is the question of today. When Jesus said, when Jesus came, to seek and save those who are lost. He doesn't mean who are lost can't find the direction to the school, right? No. Those who are lost don't like people say about themselves and nothing they can do about it. They are lost because they seek ways to get out of that trap and nothing has ever worked. That's loss. Otherwise, what do you mean by loss? Loss means cannot find a way out. But the story says, when the Zacchaeus heard about Jesus coming, what did he do? He ran, right? He's short, has to run very fast. Then not only ran, what did he do? Of a tree. Sometimes we look at ourselves. Once we feel something we don't like about ourselves, we try to cover it up, we try to do something about it, just like climb up the tree to see Jesus because he took you up. But the point is, what he did right is this time he paid attention to what? To Jesus. That's a turning. Let me say it again. the whole turning point has nothing to do with he being smart, being more beautiful, or being... We have a whole lifetime to do that. I can tell you ahead of time that no one has achieved the final goal of being totally satisfied with how smart I am, how beautiful I am. The basic two questions, this I learned from the school counselor and psychologist. Everybody asks two questions. I thought, you would think only you ask. Your mother, your parent asks. Pastor asks. First question, am I lovable? Am I likable? Second question, am I useful? Everybody asks. Those questions never, if you look inside yourself, if you look at people around you, you never find satisfying answer. You know, for those who say, boy, you look great, beautiful, this week, a month later, they just look at you like, oh, what is this? Make you just second guess, what did the guy say last month? You maybe just have some ulterior motivation to get something out of me. You're never gonna get a satisfying answer from anybody, even sometimes from your parent. I've been parent all these years. Sometimes when I saw Jason, Jason, I hug him, I love him. But sometimes I say, Jason, what happened to this room? Or what happened to this? Which what he did disagree from what I like him to do, right? Sometimes my facial expression will show that. So I for all these years, I have practiced tell my difference with my children with the facial expression approving. Boy, just to see, let me practice. This was 10, 20 years, 15 years ago, at least 10 years ago when they still live home. Now they're gone for 10 years. When they were home, their room is messy. Next time you saw Jason, you can check with him. But now he has his own house, own apartment. I'm telling you, it's so tidy. But 10 years ago, you know, so when I walk home, I saw his room, I used to say, hey, what's up, Jason? He said, ah, oh, no. I said, okay, are you busy? No, not busy. Can you clean up the room? He said, what are you, this is my room. I mean, but this is the, you know, finally I realized, then I changed my dialogue to say, when I came home tired, and he is tired, he's playing on his computer. Then I walk in his room, saw everything on the floor. Then first thing I had to have a deep breath, walk away. Then after 10 minutes, I walk back in to say, how are you doing, Jason? Okay. Yeah, what do you mean by okay? Dad, okay, it's okay. Okay, I have to figure out something to say. But one of the saying, it has to be the room, right? I said, do you have time? Oh, yeah. Oh, what do you want? I said, well, you have time to fix up the room? I said, oh, not really. I said, when's then I just said one more thing, then I just leave. Okay, when you have time, let me know. But he got the message. Because then I have to go back to my room, look in the mirror, see how I look. That's what I practice. The point I'm trying to get across is whether his room is messy or not should not affect he's lovable. He's useful. See the point? Boy, you think trigonometry is hard. Calculus is hard. Boy, this is harder. control your expression in face of those you love. I think, you guess what I think in this passage? You see how Zacchaeus changed. He changed, right? He was hiding, right? But when he met with Jesus, what did Jesus say? Hey, Zacchaeus, stop cheating people. Did Jesus say that? No. Oh, too short is not a shortcoming. Did Jesus say that? No. What did Jesus say? Come down. Then what? I'll live in your home tonight. I'll live in your house. That's what Jesus had the invitation to all of us. If Jesus didn't think we're lovable, he would come to live with me. Just like when I walk in Jason's room with Messi, I say, Jason, guess what? I can stay here tonight with you. It takes some trying to just live in that room. Right? But that's what Jesus told us, each one of us. Sometimes we're messy. Are we messy sometimes? Sometimes we don't even think we're lovable, right? Sometimes we're full of jealous, we're full of some thoughts. We don't even like to be with me sometimes. But Jesus said, I want to be with you. Among all these people are surrounding him, I want to be with you tonight. That is the invitation. Then, the Bible never said what happened that evening, right? But after that evening, Zacchaeus changed. That's what we're looking for, each of us in our life. When Jesus came to our life, we have internal change. 2 point. You look at what Zacchaeus did. He said, if I cheated anybody, I'll return them fourfold, right? Then, in addition to that, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. This says two things. First part deal with my own shortcoming, my own fault. Second part is the changed person to look at the people around him. Let's talk about the first one. Many times we're confused about the two. We are only responsible for our own shortcoming, defect, and the good things happen to us. Good thing, internal. If someone is kind, tender, that's a good thing. We're responsible for those too. We are only responsible for our own bitterness, jealousy, all that kind of stuff. But the problem with that is nothing we can do about it. When I am jealous of someone, if I just say, I'm going to stop jealousy, it's never going to work. It takes Jesus Christ to come to our life to say, Jack, if I realize I have some personal character defect, so I can tell Jesus, I have this problem. Please forgive me. What would Jesus say? Son, you're forgiven. You have a way out. You have a second chance. You have a new beginning. This is going to keep happening in your life. Not just once. Every time you find something wrong with you, you always come to Jesus, you get forgiven. You may not get from people. This is first. Secondly, we always try to be responsible for what people do to us. When people treat us badly, we always try to figure out a way to stop him, right? We always try to stop. And if they don't stop, then we feel bad about ourselves. That's because we are mistaken. We are not responsible for how people laugh at us. That's their problem. In order to do that, we have to have a way to connect it to the lover of all mankind, Jesus. to vent out our own inner frustration, to tell them how sorry, how sorrow we have when we are ridiculed, when we are looked down. Let those emotions out to Jesus, the most influential person on earth, called Augustine. The most influential work he ever written was Confession. Confess all his own defects with Jesus Christ and get forgiven a second chance. That's the way to live a life. Because of that, you can be more immune to how people look at you, because you have a true, realistic self-knowledge of yourself. You sometimes say, look at Jeremy Lin. Have you read about his story? He wasn't superstar all the way. He was superstar in his family. He was superstar on his team. But when he played other team, they on the court side, they just boo him, chin, chin, chin. Just imagine, you are a superstar on the team, you score 25 points per game. The audience on the, just chin, chin, chin. How do you feel? If he doesn't play, right? If he didn't score that much, they probably wouldn't pick him out, right? Because of that, they pick him out. You have to live through that. How could he live through that? Because he knew he has a true identity. He is lovable inside of Jesus Christ and in the eyes of his parent, in the eyes of his coach. Believe me, those are the minorities in the room. You're never going to win the cheer of the majority all the time. If you still have that dream, that brings you great anxiety. You're never going to get that. Even Jeremy Lin doesn't get that. Look at the newspaper critics write about him. There's always very great comment, very nasty criticism. You're never going to be the champion of all people all the time. It's not going to happen. But what can happen is you can look at yourself from the eyes of Jesus Christ. Once you get that, this Zacchaeus can give half of his money away. He's crazy. No. What is money for? Well, I don't have time, so I should stop. Money is for at least one purpose, for people to think you're great. You're successful. But because he doesn't need that. He is successful already when he met Jesus Christ. That's why he can have the money. I don't have to drive a Benz or Bentley or whatever car to show I am somebody. Because in Jesus I wear somebody already. That is the key in this story. Okay, last, just a few words about the trip. The reason I'm going all the way to all those places is all over the world, especially in China, young people caught on fire by the message of Jesus Christ. They came to Jesus in the thousands. They all young. The room, the church like ours, the average age is about 40 plus, including you. But the average age of a church in China is 30 and less. Full of young people thinking, why? Because they realize when you have 1.3 billion people in such a crowded land, nobody gonna get anything they wanted. most of the time. Jealousy, competition, slandering, unfaithfulness, extramarital affair, and cohabitation, all over. Guess what? The young people say, this is not what we want, even though the culture is pounding on them. Once they met Jesus, they find, this is the way I want. So they came to Jesus in thousands. I was so surprised. Same gonna happen in those Muslim countries, because the country is so unpolluted, the water in Kyrgyzstan, so nice, but the culture is so polluted, corruption all over. People get fed up, but there's no way out, because they look at themselves, look at people around you, no way out. So the only way out is look at Jesus. So that's why people went their place. Not because they don't have anything better to do, because they really see the hand of Jesus Christ moving people in their life. Okay, so that's the bottom line. I hope you can remember two things. You're only responsible for your own mistake and your own defects. And Jesus will give you the forgiveness. The Holy Spirit will lead you to a second chance, to give you the real understanding of how lovable you are in the eyes of Jesus, independent of your failure. Secondly, never try to be responsible for how other people do to you. None of your business. It's not your fault. When they say you're ugly, it has nothing to do with how beautiful you are, how lovable you are. Don't take those lies. Only way to do that, come to Jesus. Look at the scripture and see how Jesus loved those people around you. Let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you for the short story. I pray that you give us the insight to see how lovable we are in the eyes of Jesus Christ, so we can always turn around, confess our shortcoming and faults, and be forgiven and get a second chance, have a closer relationship, and give us the same heart to help other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.